next item on the agenda list for today is the post-implementation review. I have three business combinations. Michael?
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. I want to start off by talking about the post-implementation review that we've just completed, which is the IFRS 8 segments review. As you know, we published the report last week summarising the findings that we learned through that. And included in that document was areas for further follow-up. And what I wanted to just inform you of was our plan to bring a paper to you later this year with proposals for how we should follow up on those particular issues. So it's clear that we'll be sort of identifying which of these would be suitable for perhaps a narrow scope amendment, which perhaps would be more appropriate for a broader project. So I just wanted to inform you of that and ask if you had any questions related to that before we move on to the business combinations review.
I think that's helpful because the words in that report were somewhat indefinite. They said, more or less, we'd take them under consideration, and a lot of them referred to a future project on disclosure framework. So I think to the extent we can parse that and say we will deal with these sooner rather than later, I think that's helpful.
Plus in conjunction with the FASB, because it's joint project. It's a converged standard,
right,
so we
exactly.
Can't do this unilaterally.
Okay. Michael, I can't remember from the report wording, but have we automatically committed to address every one of the findings? Because I thought that was one of the things we'd said up front we weren't going to do with post-issuance reviews, that there was not an automatic jump to the front of the queue for the issues identified in post-issuance review, that we weren't ignored and sent to the back of the queue either, but they had to be prioritized vis-a-vis the significance, other agenda priorities, et cetera.
That would certainly be part of the consideration we're building to the paper that we bring to you. There is, of course, the agenda consultation that we would be doing in 2015, and we'd need to be mindful of that coming up as well, as to whether we sort of direct something towards being sort of featured in that agenda consultation and ask questions, or whether there are other things that we could do in the more short term as a narrow scope amendment.
It's minor, but I think it should do rather than could do, because there's always something we could do. The question is really whether we should or not.
Okay. In that case, we'll move on to the post-implementation review of business combinations IFRS 3.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon. Agenda paper 12 aims to provide you with some information about our plans for the post-implementation review of IFRS 3, the standard for the accounting for business combinations, and as well to provide you with information about the initial planning consultation that we aim to undertake during the next few months with the aim to establish the scope of the review. We would also like you, whether you agree with this initial planning, and we would also like you to ask you for feedback if you have any feedback on the matters that we discuss in this paper as well. The paper includes some background information on IFRS 3, and as you know, the ISB began a project to review IAS 22, the old standard on business combinations, back in 2001. And the main objective of that project was to improve the quality of accounting for business combinations. And the board at that time decided to structure the project in two phases. The first phase resulted in the publication in 2004 of IFRS 3, and it resulted as well in the publication of amendments to IAS 36 and IAS 38. And in that phase of the project, the main conclusion was that virtually all business combinations are acquisitions. The second phase was conducted with the FASB jointly, and in most of the issues, the board reached the same conclusions, and this phase concluded with the issuance of the revised IFRS 3 in 2008, and with the related and with the statement 141 business combinations revised in 2007. It also resulted in the publication of amendments to IAS 27 and statement 160. This gives you a very brief summarized overview of the main publications and amendments resulting from the business combinations project, and leads to the following statement that for the purposes of this review, we expect that the preliminary scope of this post-implementation review would cover the whole business combination project. That means both standards, IFRS 3 issued in 2004, IFRS 3 issued in 2008, plus any consequential amendments resulting from the business combination project to other standards such as IS 36, IS 38, IS 12. And how we plan to undertake this review is in two phases, and I'm now in paragraph 18 of the paper. During phase one, we will undertake targeted outreach consultations with different parties to identify the areas of the standard that represented challenges for entities applying this standard. And the aim of this exercise is to include those issues in a request for information. And during this first phase of consultations as well, we will undertake academic review about the application of this standard. And we will also gather information about the level of activity, acquisition activity during the last few years when IFRS 3 2008 was being applied. And basically, that will give us more comfort whether it is worthwhile to publish the request for information that we aim to publish by the end of the year. That will then start the second phase of the review with the publication of the request for information. And in that second phase of the review, we will undertake outreach, and we will also analyze all of the comments received from this public document. And that will lead then to the publication of a feedback statement that we aim to publish by the third quarter of 2014, as stated in the table in paragraph 18 of the paper. And basically, this summarizes very briefly the first part of the paper and leads to the questions to the board. The first question that we really have for the board is whether the board agrees with the preliminary scope of the post-implementation review, which is to review IFRS 3 2004, IFRS 3 2008, plus consequential amendments resulting from the business combinations project. And what we have done as well in Appendix 1 of the document of the paper is to put together a population of items that we have found in different documents, basis for conclusions, feedback statement, issues raised to IFRIC, where we anticipate that these are areas where people have found challenges, and would also like to ask you whether you do have any other additional areas or any feedback for us, any remarks that we should consider within this preliminary assessment in Appendix 1.
Philippe? I'm not sure I really want to give any indication that we might reconsider the purchase method and going back to pooling of interest. I know it was introduced in 2004. I don't think this is for discussion. We are converged with FISB. It's been hard to get to there. And by giving the impression that we reopen or open for discussion any change introduced in 2004, could be perceived as, yes, maybe there is a possibility that we will already discuss pooling of interest. Is anyone on this table happy to do so? I don't think. But I think we should clearly, from the outset, say no, that is not open for discussion. No. So do we start 9B or 9C? I mean, we should be clear that some of the decisions made in 2004 are irreversible. I don't want to say which ones here, but maybe that one, purchase accounting instead of pooling of interest.
Okay.
Mariela, I think I want to ask two questions here. In para 17, you said that until there has been more acquisition activity. How do you put a threshold to that? And so that's something we need to be very careful about it. It should not look like this is a hidden agenda to postpone the work. So
this is basically for us to be aware that some constituents have raised this concern that because of the financial crisis in 2007, 2008, 2009, the activities have dropped, and whether we would have enough evidence to put together a post-implementation review of a standard that has not had many transactions. And this is the reflection of the concerns raised by some constituents. However, during the few consultations that we have had so far, we have also heard that that should not be a justification, or people are not finding it an enough good justification to delay the review. This is the feedback that we have gathered so far in the last few meetings that we have had.
I have two more comments here. I did have the same comment that Philippe had in question 1A. I wrote to myself, basically you said everything is on the table. How does that fit with the FASB? Because it's a converged standard and we need to be careful. Some, like Philippe said, should not be on the discussion table. And one of them is, I made a career in earlier part of my career with the pooling of interest. Okay, so because, but that doesn't mean that it should be back on the table. We should think about to do it because we have to be very careful that we cannot diverge at this point in time.
If I can just sort of express some thoughts on that. I mean, our review, as we intended, is to be focused on the standard, the guidance that we've developed, rather than picking out parts of it to review. So in sort of having those conversations with people applying the standard, understanding how they've encountered the application of the whole package of the standard is something that we saw as being beneficial, so that we're not trying to limit that conversation. We're saying, tell us about your experience of accounting for business combinations. What we've included in here is a reminder of what were the changes that were brought in.
Ian, did you want to go? I would support Michael really on this. We went through the same with segments, and we started with a limited review, and then after we consulted for a while, it became obvious you had to have. And you might have said in that case, look, the one based on internal reporting, you know, we should go back to geography. No, we're not going to change that. But this is a review, so we should at least ask people what they think. There's not an implication that we're going to take their comments and automatically turn them into action. But I don't think we can limit.
That's true, but I just don't want people to feel that they're coming up with some suggestion which we are not going to consider. You know, there's that side of it. So, we are going to listen to everything you say, but we are not going to act. So that's another issue. I'm just saying that we got to be very careful in saying that.
There are two phases here. The first phase is to be very open, and then the RFI, the request for information, can go out and say that our initial indication is pooling of interest is not an issue that anybody is willing to take on. That's when we close it down.
Okay. I just want to add one more. Yeah. That's fair. I just want to caution that 1B, on the question 1B on your list, some jurisdictions have specifically carved out from IFRS 3 negative goodwill. And those jurisdictions should at least have the opportunity to air their reasons for that. And that's something which I know when we are very broad, we are bringing it, but I think we should not exclude this from the negative goodwill from the list, okay. So that such that people will feel that they are being heard.
Okay. Chawu? Thank you. Just one minor suggestion. I guess we will keep in mind when you should scope that is more aligned with the scope of the effect analysis. I guess, Alan, this is the first statement, IFRS 3, the comprehensive effect analysis was done. So I guess it's a kind of a complete all effect analysis, pre-post. So maybe, you know, this is a quite good example to finish the total life cycle. So please check everything in the effect analysis that IFRS 3 that was published in 2007.
Yeah. Gary?
The question on 1B, first of all, or comment, I think this is a very good initial assessment, but I'm somewhat perplexed on, if I understand what phase one is going to do, it's be sort of confirming is Appendix A the list. Taken through an over, it just seems like an awful long time. I did, the other side said, I did 50 acquisitions against these FASB's version statements. I can tell you right now, every one of these is an issue. You know, maybe not the acquisition, but these are commonly exist in practice. So, back to, do we really need 5 months to confirm the list? I agree they're in the audit. It's, you know, maybe there's a few other things. It just seems an awful long time to confirm what are the questions we should ask. And some of the people on the charts on page 8, you know, could they be part of, you know, the phase 2 feedback as opposed to the phase 1 confirming the question? So it's more of a process question. It just seems like a very long time to get, you know, basically the RFI prepared, you know, with the questions. The other thing I would add to, you know, the questions is really the interaction of the goodwill impairment recovery test with separate reporting. Comment letters I wrote to the FASB, I didn't agree with not amortizing goodwill, and that's a long time ago. One of the reasons why companies reallocate, reorganize all the time, and very quickly goodwill gets blended and lost from the operations it was originally associated with. So you go several years after big acquisition, it might be pretty unclear where that goodwill relates to the underlying operations that it first was assigned to. So I think that would be something I would ask add to Appendix 1. Otherwise, it's a very good list.
Very good.
I have 3 questions. First one about the list. I remember, no, maybe not very clearly, when we started with the ones on 8, we weren't debated on the scope of post-implementation review. And particularly, you know, there are major parts like usefulness and operational side and technical challenges. Now, this gave me impression, you know, for this project, you know, we will focus on those technical challenges. I'm not sure if this in line with the previous project or not. Alan, my understanding, my question is valid or not?
So, is this related to the previous project?
I think during that time, we are very careful not want to give people impression. The post-implementation review is asking for any possible amendment. And I think if we go this way, you know, people will focus more on the issues, agree or not agree.
I think that it's the same basic approach, just with IFRS 3 and business combinations. You just happen to have a much broader range of subjects. The second reporting was about, you know, how many columns and how many lines it was, and then how you classify them, whereas business combinations, we've got the whole issue of definition of the business, the acquisition costs, the identifiable intangible assets, how the impairment of goodwill works and relates to segment reporting. It's just a much broader range of issues. And so I think it's exactly the same approach as we have for IFRS 8. We're actually asking, have we got the right things? I'm hopeful that when we get to the RFI stage, which is to Gary's point, I think it's worth investing a little bit of time now to get some initial feedback. Because even though we've got this broad list, we may be able to scale it down a bit once we get some initial feedback and say, look, pulling of interest is off the table, for example. And going back to Chung Wu's point about the effect analysis, we said acquisition cost capitalisation was a big issue when we first came out with it. I haven't heard anything about that. I think that's off the table as well. So I think some of the things we can actually scale back on, but we have to be quite open about this. There just happens to be, when you acquire a whole business, there's a lot going on.
My second question is about the issues in both Philippe and PK touched about pooling and business combination and the common control. You know, we can say we investigate in this project, but on the other hand, you know, from 2007 we have a separate project, but suspended because of heavy burden. And then after the agenda consultation, we already put that item there, that is business combination and the common control. And I think the question is not whether we want to do something or not, is the question whether we want to put here or we want to restart the business combination and the common control projects. I'm right?
Yes.
Well, we have restarted.
Yeah, I've actually just put in a request about 2 minutes ago for 30 minutes of time in September to provide you with an update of where we are with that project in the research phase. And I think it's important because you're quite right about one of the issues for IFRS 3 is the scope of the standard, and actually scoping out business combinations under common control is in fact a valid post-implementation review question. But I think we decided that we could wait until we get to the end of 2014 before we got some feedback and started, but we know it's a problem. So we've actually started to do the research. We've had project manager going out, talking to the firms and so on, and I want to give you a little bit of a feedback, you know, a 20 to 30 minute heads up of where we are with that in September meeting. But what will be important is that when we go with the request for information, that we identify that that's an issue that we've already started to do some parallel work on.
My third question is about how to work for FSB in the future. You know,
work for FSB?
With them,
work with FSB in the future.
Is that for?
You know, we, the past you say many times, you know, it is the end of the period. We enter into new era. But of course, we try to finish before project. But, you know, long time ago, we start with so many so-called joint, you know, convergence projects. And the people now say it, anytime if it is related to a joint project, we should work with FSB again. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what we will do in the future. We have different kind of products. Some of them are nearly exactly the same, like 13, and some of them very close, maybe 99% the same business combination. And some of them, you know, we finally conclude differently, like consolidation. And the others, we not conclude, like income tax. And now we say it, no. Since from it was born, it is a joint project, we should work with FSB. I'm not sure, you know, what's the, you know, diagram, you know, plans in the future.
We've already agreed. Just remember that the FAF has already completed a review of their business combination standard, which is equivalent to IFRS 3, and provided a report to the FASB. FASB is basically standing by. They're waiting for us to do our process now. Once we've both got the feedback, then we go together.
Yeah.
And just to emphasise as well, the FASB has already agreed to help us with the outreach in the US, particularly talking to investors. Because they actually need to find out the same information themselves, because they don't have the investor outreach information available because the FAF is not able to give it to them. So they'll be doing that with us and collecting information. So then we'll decide what to do. They've already added a project on definition of a business to their agenda, but they're not going to do any work on it until we're ready to do the work once we finish this.
Actually, my question is related to the two stage. The first stage is post-implementation review. Look at the 8. We already do differently. You know, we do by the board. They did by the foundation, and the scope different, question different, conclusion different. And then moving to the next stage, I'm not sure whether, since the first stage is different, and how can we cooperate in the second stage? So I'm not very clear.
Well, we're going to talk to them about that as we go.
Philippe?
About the scope. Very, very likely so, in paragraph 15b, you say that we will also look at the consequential amendments resulting from the IFRS 3, and namely IS-27 consolidation was revised substantially. Even some board members dissented.
Did you, Philippe?
Some dissented. I did. I think some of the amendments we made to consolidation as a result of the new approach were substantial. They are not listed in the paper, but I think they would be worth listing, as we did for IFRS 3, some of the major changes that were introduced at the time.
And I'm a bit surprised that Appendix 1 doesn't have any question in relation to what happens after a business combination when there are changes in the ownership of the consolidated subsidiary, like dilutions, solutions, loss of control. It seems that we don't have any problem, any question. I think the outreach we have done on some discussion with the firms seem to indicate there are some questions as well, post-business combination. So I think we should at least have a couple of questions here regarding 27.
Mary?
Going back to the point about scope, broad, narrow, how do we not raise expectations? I think Ian's point is important about not trying to shut it down or keep it too narrow when we go out with the first document. But should we maybe do something like saying there are a number of significant changes that were introduced? You know, for completeness, here's a list of all the areas. We've listed first the areas that we think would be most useful focus in the post-issuance review based on feedback we've heard so far. Then here are the other issues. So they're all there. But, you know, that's maybe a way of segregating something like pooling versus purchase to the second list so that it's there, it's complete, you understand all the major changes that were introduced by the standard, but, and we're not putting it off limits, but we aren't sending any false signals. Maybe the other thing in terms of, again, thinking about how the feedback can be most useful to us, think of grouping them, perhaps, items excluded from, you know, the scope, that's business combinations under common control, impact on other interaction with other standards. There may be two or three things that we group there just to give people some general ideas, but no fundamental changes to force the proposals from the staff in terms of being broad in the first area.
Okay.
One observation. A topic that some of us brought up at the initial stage of the draft in the conceptual framework, one of my favorites, and that Philly actually kind of danced around. I've been spending the last 5 minutes trying to find it in these books. Essentially deals with what is a non-controlling interest. Is it equity? Is it minority interest? Somewhere between equity and liabilities? Or is it liabilities? Peter's going to answer this question for us, along with the rest of the staff, in the next several years. The overlap of that question with this project, I think, should be addressed, acknowledged. So I think I like it to at least add it to the list.
It has to be there. That was one of the other major decisions in 2004. It was defined.
That's right.
And Tatsumi's dissent tells you what he called it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mariela.
Yeah.
Any suggestions? Anything that you need specific guidance on or decisions on?
No, I think we have covered basically everything, including as well the second part of the paper, which detailed all the activities that we wanted to do with the different constituents. Alan has explained the liaison with the FAS and the FASB. And what we wanted to also to tell you is that we aim to bring back the results of all of those consultations in November, at our meeting in November. And we would also aim to provide you with information about the content and the scope of the document, of the request for information document. And basically from there then agree on the publication and start the second phase of the review.
Okay, thank you.